we worked so hard. Like, what people don't understand about that show is that there's not just the singing component. The kids now on the show, they don't do it as much, but we were basically product promoters. So every week we had to shoot commercials for Coca-Cola, Ford, Old Navy.
Did you get any, did you guys make money off that?
No.
They didn't pay y'all to shoot those commercials?
They paid us with careers.
That's Ruben Studdard explaining what it really felt like to be on American Idol. Can you believe they were shooting commercials and not getting paid? Highway robbery. Robbery, I tell you. They can't get away with that today. Enjoy this edition of Naked.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion, and girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with
us. Hey everybody, so I have a thought. And first of all, welcome to Naked. Thank you for being here. You already know who our guest is, Mr. Ruben Studdard. But I will say this, here's my thought, especially after talking to Ruben. My thought is, the days of men specifically, singing about their emotions and how they feel and how they need a woman and how much they love their lady and how they need her in their lives and they want to spend the rest of their lives with her. I just don't feel like we sing like that or hear those songs anymore. That could just be me. Now, I will say this. I know there are a series of artists that are doing this, indie, but I'm talking mainstream, like on the radio, hear it consistently. Marvin Gaye's, if you will, mainstream. There's some artists that are very similar, but mainstream is what I'm talking about. Just in our zeitgeist, it's all the time. The Marvin Gaye's, if you will, the Smokey Robinsons, the Luther Vandross's of the world. Where are they? Where are those songs where you're like, oh, he really loves me. It's, you remember back in the day, I don't think y'all do because y'all not old enough. But back in the day, somebody make you a mixtape. Now they send you a playlist. But it is of all the stuff about how they feel. You know, like, oh, this person loves me. I don't think we do that anymore. And today's guest, in my opinion, is one of the few that has that really soulful voice where you're cleaning up the house on Saturday morning. You know, you're sweeping the carpet. You can't use the vacuum. You're sweeping the carpet. Your mom is yelling at you to make sure you clean the house well. His music is really special. You remember him from American Idol season 2. He won it all. He's continued to have an amazing career. And he has a new album out, The Way I Remember It. But we talked about his American Idol experience, which I believe really set the tone for competition reality shows today. He explains how he was a part of what changed our viewing experience when it comes to reality and competition shows. He gives me a really great idea or illustration of what American Idol was able to do for The Voice, for The Masked Singer, for all of these reality competition shows, Survivor, you name it. It's really, really interesting to hear that perspective. And also, it's wonderful to see that 20 years later, he is living his best life. He is just had another baby, has two babies, and he just got off tour with Clay. Clay was the runner-up from season 2. Y'all remember Clay Aiken? They had a whole tour that was like a slice of nostalgia if you want to remember American Idol during that time. Genius, who comes up with this? I'm really grateful to have Ruben Studdard on the podcast. I also ask him who currently is the king of R&B. I'd like your thoughts on that too. Take a listen and welcome to Naked. Ruben, this is exciting for me. Thank you so much for being here. I've been a fan for a very, very long time.
Thank you, Jim.
I listened to your album this morning and congratulations. I think this is the first time that you've put out some original music in a decade or so, right or wrong?
It's been about maybe 6 years. Yeah. Something
6 years. I just rounded all the way up. 6 years. I rounded way up then. And this album, I know you said was inspired by your wife, but I'm really curious because obviously I love the sports. Why Gretzky?
It's just a play on sports, man. You know, he is one of the greatest hockey players to ever play the game. I thought I personally didn't write the song, right? I heard that song and I thought, that's cool. That's a cool way to, you know, like talk about something in an R&B way. You know what I mean? So I went in the booth and I think it turned out well.
It turned out really well. For those listening, The Way I Remember It, Ruben Studdard, and he has a series of songs on here, and one of which is Gretzky, and I'm thinking Wayne Gretzky. I don't know if you all are familiar with the greatest ever to do it, at least in my opinion, in hockey. Side note, though, Ruben, I'd send a text to one of his agents, because I know. I was like, tell Wayne to listen to this. This is amazing. And then he goes, do you know him? Do you have any relationship with Wayne Gretzky at all?
Met Wayne Gretzky twice. Actually, one of my producers is from Canada, David Foster. And so several of his events, Mr. Gretzky is there. So I've met him like twice. Once, I think, in Toronto, and another time, I think, in like a little small town outside of Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you send him the single?
I don't have his number to send it to him.
I meant like, you know, maybe
Hey, Wayne,
I got something for you. And who does, right? I don't even think he has a cell phone. But I'm saying, like, you know, you got to get it to somebody anyway. I sent it to one of his marketing agents. I hope that he sent, literally, this was just minutes ago, like probably 30 minutes ago. I was saying to myself.
I also thought it was so cool because when I was a kid, like, I remember being in middle school where all of us either happened to have anything with, like, Los Angeles on it, even though we were in Birmingham, that we had to have a Bo Jackson jersey because, of course, he's from Alabama. Wayne Gretzky, like anything with that black and silver, like it was like hot back in the day. So it was cool.
It was, and your love of sports, what I did not know, your love of sports began probably for a long time. Obviously, you grew up in the South. You guys love football. Friday nights are everything there. But yeah. you played your freshman year in college at Alabama A&M. Is that true?
That's correct. I was on scholarship. Went to Alabama A&M University. As a child, I played football and baseball from like 5 to 13. And then I focused primarily.
Because Bo did.
Well, this is what everybody does down here. Like in the fall you play football, spring you play baseball. So it's like, you know, it is what it is. I think I really got serious about football maybe my sophomore year in high school. I had a coach that was like really impressed upon me. He was like, man, you got the size, the footwork, you need to like really focus on football. So I started doing that, and that's what landed me at Alabama A&M University. But I really went there. People didn't know I really went there because of the music department. Like I was going to play football, but I was secretly like excited to be there with Dr. Carney, Dr. Tucker, and all the people in the music department. So they kind of like won me over. To that side.
They were like, it didn't take much. Yeah, I love that though. Well, obviously you make correct decisions, kind sir. I have been interested in when you have such a gift, right? When people are really talented. So if you're talented at a certain age and you know you can play sports well and you can sing, did you know that singing was going to be your way to reach people to do the work that you have been blessed to do?
I think when I was about 12 years old that my voice had a different thing to it, and I couldn't explain that to people. Like I could just see what people's reactions to my singing at that age was, right? Because I've been singing since I was 5. So people will always give you an amen, hallelujah, when you're a kid and you're singing at church or singing at some program at school, everybody's going to give you that applause. But when I got to be about 12, their reaction shifted. Like people would be like, that kid is like, that's not average. So I enjoyed the reaction that I got from people, and it never stopped. And I think that I chose the correct career path because it gives me, you know, a chance to be creative, but also it kind of fulfills me in a way like where I give, you know, people something to listen to and to grab a hold to.
You know, being a part of, and I call it a slice of Americana, like for instance, Saturday Night Live is pop culture. It's just it's a part of who we are. Jeopardy, the TV show, is a part of American culture. You can go anywhere in the world and you know Jeopardy, or you'll know Saturday Night Live, and you will know American Idol.
Right.
You won season 2. And I know that you thought, from my understanding, that you didn't want to participate, but after Kelly won season 1, you're like, well, why not?
Right.
Take me back to that moment of auditioning and ultimately winning. I just want to talk about that whole experience because I would think that would have to feel surreal for you, being from Alabama and then being a part of something that was larger than life at the time.
You know, the reason why I auditioned is because I was in a band called Just a Few Cats at the time. And one of the background singers was like, listen, I think I'm going to audition for American Idol. You should go with. And I was like, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about that. And I just ultimately just decided to go and just see what it was all about. Like not really like caring whether or not I won or lost, not having any expectation of what was going to happen. And I went there, and of course, we had to camp out for a day to get a number. It was a whole deal. And then when I finally got to audition, it was several different auditions before I got to be in front of Randy, Paula, and Simon. So you have to audition once for assistant producers, executives, and then Randy Paul aside. So three auditions before you get to the one on television, right? So you go through that. And I knew pretty early on in my going to Hollywood that I was like, you can kind of tell like that you were in the talent group, because there was like, you can tell they had a group of people that were there for the image part, and they were there for, and they had a group of people that was just there to flat out sing. Right. And like, I remember the first time I heard Frenchie, like she was like, you knew, like she was there to like bring the house down. And Clay, for instance, like all these, like they had like Kimberly Locke, these people they brought to sing. And I felt like I measured up with everybody that I felt was the best in the crowd. And that kind of gave me the confidence to keep moving forward as far as making it into the top 10. That was, you know, I didn't have an expectation of that. I really wanted to go and get the experience, because I was from Alabama. There aren't very many opportunities in the music industry that are happening in Alabama at that time. There are now, but there wasn't at that time. And I knew I had to get away from Alabama to do what I wanted to do. So it gave me that opportunity. Being on the show was surreal, because you learn how the world were fans of the show because of who you would see in the audience. You would, you know, show up to the sound check and or at the show, and there's some random celebrity sitting in the front row. Like they had
like whom dish, please.
I remember all the people from Days of Our Lives would be there, because we taped. We were in the same lot, like CBS lot. So like they had a lot of shows going on. So like we were eating, like I remember eating lunch at like the Victor Newman like came in the cafeteria. All of us were like, what is going on? His name is not Victor Newman. I think that's just his name.
Yeah, but yes, it is. It's, yes, his name is Victor Newman. He don't have no other name that I know. Okay. He will forever be Victor Newman.
I think Gabrielle Union came to an episode. Mm-hmm. It was just like all the time there were people showing up. Like Tia and Tamara were there a lot. They actually had signs and stuff. Like they were like fans. And we were like,
they were like, we're here. We're here to support. Yeah.
We would be bugging out backstage because of like all the people. And then of course our guest judges like Bertie White, Gladys Knight, all Burt Bacharach, all these legends that were there to like give us advice. It was unexpected. We only expected to be around Randy Paul that time. Like we never expected to meet Oprah. Like that, Oprah taped an episode of her show from our set.
Wow.
Yeah. Like she did a whole thing at our house, like taking us around. Like, you know, she was really like into it. So it was a big deal.
In the moment, could you enjoy it, or were you just sitting there freaking out inside? Was the little kid in you like, this is unreal, God. Thank you.
There were moments that I had an opportunity to enjoy, and it's especially because I'm like a music geek, right? And so like a lot of the people that were helping us behind the scenes were like these world-renowned musicians and singers and, you know, people that I've seen like help, like Tina Turner, Luther Vandross, all these people like are working around the American Idol set. So it was just every day, like you're getting to meet people that shape music and entertainment culture.
We got to take a quick break right here, pay some bills, fast forward through the commercials. We'll be right back with Ruben Studdard.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream, connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. Got a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked, we're.
Welcome back to Naked. He is here and he sings, guys. He gives us a little bit, just a little bit of We need that. Thank you, Ruben. You were clearly easy to love because of your spirit and how easygoing you were. And then you had the voice. I remember Gladys Knight calling you a teddy bear, I think something like silky teddy bear. What was the compliment she gave you that? And so I wonder, because I know me and I know I'm competitive and I don't care how kind I am. There's this competitive edge that comes out. And I want to know when it started to get down to like the last two, were you still close with these people? Were you guys still rooting for each other? Or was this, I'm going to sit in my room and work on what I'm about to do this week. I can't be, we not best friends no more. Not this week.
You know what? I think the culture of the show kind of shifted to that a couple of seasons after. They were very intentional about making us feel like family so that the reactions to people leaving would be, it was, you know, clearly a television show. Like, can't see that while you're in it. But sure. They were very intentional about making us, like, we had family dinners. Like, we lived in the house together. Like, it was, like, very intentional. So when somebody left, it was like your cousin leave, your sister. Mm-hmm. I really had no expectation of what was going or desire to be the top person until we got into, like, the top three. And I was like,
and then you was like, so then you started, did you start pushing people around and bullying people?
No, not at all. I just like,
I'm kidding.
I was like razor sharp focused on making sure my performances was good. You know what I mean? Because we worked so hard. Like what people don't understand about that show is that there's not just the singing component. The kids now on the show, they don't do it as much, but we were basically product promoters. So every week we had to shoot commercials for Coca-Cola, Ford, Old Navy, I think one or two other.
Did you get any, did you guys make money off that?
No.
They didn't pay y'all to shoot those commercials?
They paid us with careers.
That's fine, but then, but you now, I bet you now they're getting paid if they have, yeah, they don't do that. I bet you they're getting paid now because that's, you can't do that no more.
It's definitely different when we, so, you know, like.
Yeah, because it's different when you're the first, one of the first. It's different. And so there are a lot of new rules that are established as you guys go along.
I mean, we were, you know, like they were giving us, I mean, we had a new phone every week, you know, like anything that came out on AT&T, they were like sending it to us, of course, but you're not thinking like, of course they're sending it to you. Ruben, Mike, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah, Ruben. That was before we knew that product placement really could be a cash cow, if you would. And also, too, when this show was first starting out, a lot of people, and not and I'm not disrespecting the outcome because it worked out well for you, but there are these contracts, these predatory contracts. We all have had them. Like when I first started in the business, my very first contract was insane. Okay. And I was like, why is this even my contract? How am I even dealing with this? You know what I mean? Why isn't there, like, why is this allowed to happen? And then as you go on and you figure out the business, you learn what's right and what's not right. So I am not saying anything disparaging, but I am saying that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't do that today. Like if they said, Ruben, come back and shoot 10 commercials, you'd be like, okay, my agent will talk to you about the 10 commercials we're going to shoot.
Absolutely. But it was, you know, I call America out of entertainment boot camp. It is exactly. Like you get and the singing part is what that is. If you got that, when you come, you will be fine. But we were taught how to interview, how to do copy, how to, you know, do things at the radio stations that require you to be fast, like liners and notes, all these things that we, you know, wouldn't have known otherwise. Like you people send you into, like, most times people get shot out into the music industry or the whatever industry without any experience. And we got 6 months worth of experience doing all these things, which made us basically professionals right after we left the show.
Wow. That's great. And that's invaluable, by the way. That's invaluable. That is invaluable in a lot of different ways. So the runner up, Clay, and you are still friends to this day. From my understanding, now this is for my hardcore American Idol friends. My best friend, Kendra, I was just talking to her. I go, I'm interviewing Ruben. She was like, oh, I love me some Ruben. Him and Clay just went on tour. Like, she has the whole rundown. She gave me your schedule. You guys just finished, I believe, in February. And it was a slice of nostalgia. Not only did you do covers and sing the songs that you guys did on American Idol, you made the experience visceral. It could reach out and touch the set, maybe. Talk to me about who came up with this concept.
Well, we wanted...
More specific... Yeah.
We wanted to produce a show that made people feel like they were back on American Idol set. So, I mean, we don't really have the Idol props because we couldn't. You know, we definitely had the sound effects and all the things, you know, the drops from the legendary guest judges that came, and, you know, you would hear those kinds of things during the show. And we also talked about, you know, we had all the stories. We really went through, this is something that most people don't know about the show that we just produced. We went through absolutely every episode. At our producer's house, we watched all of it to kind of get the gems out of, like, because, you know, it's hard after 20 years, you don't remember all the things that were said or thrown at you. And so we had an opportunity to sit down and watch all that stuff and kind of put it into the show where people can get, you know, because a lot of times people are always asking us, what was it like being on the show? We kind of like talked about the experience. We sang a lot of the songs that not just we sang, but a lot of the other contestants sang during our season. We kind of, you know, took a trip down memory lane on season two, for sure.
I love that. I really, truly love that. And then you were on Kelly's show and you guys were going back and forth. Kelly was like, I'm glad I wasn't on your show. Yeah. And you guys are giving each other. I will say this, just as a fan watching the show, the earlier, and I know you've heard this, the earlier years were the years, right? The golden years where you really had true, I think, people, artists before it became, you know, like social media, before... Well, it was infiltrated with what wasn't necessarily authentic all the time. But as you said earlier, you knew the people who could sing and, you know, the people that were there for, you know, the looks and the talent of it all. And I feel like it set up this reality TV show.
Is it?
Where you have to entertain. You see it with The Masked Singer, which I believe you and Clay were on. You see it with, what is it? America's Got Talent. Yep. Like over and over again, it's been replicated and there seems to be some sort of success with it. Do you think that you specifically had something to do with this evolution of the entertainment singing reality show?
I think that our participation in the show definitely had something to do with the evolution of reality competitions in general. Like when you look at the way that all the reality competitions are produced now, they have three judges. Everything is like, you know, like the way the camera shots look, they look exactly like older American Idol shots. Like everything, it's like watching The Voice, watching all these shows, it makes me think about American Idol. Everything just has a different twist to it, you know, but it's the same format.
And didn't Simon Cowell have his hand on a couple of these shows that went popular? We need our Simon. Yeah. We need our Randy Dog. We need our Paul, you know, our Paul Abdul. We need that. Like he was able to kind of make a couple of more shows. And you're right. That there was a formula, like, you know, and you knew what would work. You then you produce it. You have this album that goes platinum after you leave. And I wonder if there was any
double platinum
when you leave them. What'd you say?
Two times.
First. Two taps. Wait. Tell me again. Two taps. What?
Two times platinum.
Twice. Two times. First. Two times platinum. Carrie, get it right. Okay. Yes. Got it. My bad. So then you leave. Was there a soft landing into the real world, if you will, of entertainment without all of the props of American Idol, or was there this jolt of, oh wow, I'm out here and it's not American Idol?
Yes, because Clive Davis and the people at RCA Sony were in partnership with our people at American Idol. We really went straight from the biggest television show to the biggest record company. Like there was no, you know, and we definitely benefited from being on the show because now we're getting to learn the next part of the business from other greats, right? Because, I mean, if you think about to have Clive Davis involved with your first three albums, you know, that's Aretha Franklin and kind of stuff. You know what I mean? That's put in the category of people that we idolize. And so definitely was really blessed to have the opportunity to be on JRCA Records with him. Get the opportunity to go around the world thanking people for voting for me. That was like, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we went shortly after the show. We didn't really leave each other. We went on like 60 City tour, like 3 months after
you guys did do a tour together. It still wasn't over. You guys still went out on tour together.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you miss it?
Do I miss American Idol or just what?
Just all the accoutrements.
I'm going back to the show enough not to have a feeling of wanting for the show, but I definitely, I love those people that were there working with us like family. So anytime I get a chance to go back there, it's like a class reunion where you're like hugging everybody that you know, all of our assistant producers, all of the like assistant producers are now executives on the show. So they're, you know, it's different going back and seeing them like, just like we've elevated, they all elevate.
Okay. So here's my question for you. I'm really curious about life in Birmingham, Alabama for you post American Idol. Like you have to be, I know that you have a couple of honorary degrees, but you have to be one of the biggest stars out of Birmingham. Do you have streets named after you there? Do you have to pay for any kind of meal when you go out? And tell me all the perks, because I want to be able to say, I know Ruben, and can I get a hookup?
Well, listen, Birmingham is my city, and they do love me, but there are you know, we have several superstar athletes that are from Birmingham. So I don't
I guess.
No, people are not as starstruck as you may think. You know, Bear Bryant used to walk around here and be eating.
Who could, whatever, a bear who? Don't nobody, the bear can't sing. He just brought you guys, he just created that wonderful program there. It's fine.
I mean, three of the original Temptations are from Birmingham.
Okay, so you like Carrie, let me just put this in perspective. Give me all the famous people, athletes and entertainers from Birmingham. Three of the original Temptations, Bear Bryant. Tuscaloosa is not considered Birmingham. They love the head coach over there, right?
Yeah, Nick Saban, of course. But, you know, it's you know, 30 minutes up the road, so.
Okay. And who else?
I said Bo Jackson. Let's see. I mean, this.
You haven't named anybody more famous than Ruben Studdard. I'm going to put him in order.
Oh, no. Stop, ma'am. I have yet to have a.
Don't do that.
The greatest athlete to ever touch a football or baseball. Like, don't do that.
I guess. Okay, Bo, no. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Bo, Ruben, Bear.
Bear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not big.
1A, 1B.
We have a
1A, 1B.
Yeah, it's. I would have to pull a list out of the people that are from here. But, you know, we have.
I'm gonna ask Siri when I get off this podcast and see what Siri says.
Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
They started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. And girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest, greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked, wear.
Okay, so I'm really, really excited about a couple of things. The way I remember it, you said this is inspired by your wife. Tell me about that. And you have a song called Wife, which I think is beautiful. Tell me about the process of deciding 6 years later, it's time to make a song. I know you just had another child. Congratulations. And I think this is beautiful. It's full circle. But I want to know the process of making this particular album for you.
I wasn't very interested in making a new album only because I had a different business model. I started doing these nostalgic cover shows. I produced a show called Ruben Sings Luther, which did really well for me. And I had no desire to be in the studio doing a project. And I went to, so I'm a very big hip hop fan. And I went to see 8-Ball at MJG at an outdoor festival in Mobile, Alabama with my wife. And this lady that writes scripts for BET, she's from Mobile, Alabama. She's had several scripts like produced. And she was like, we've been looking for you. And I said, okay, who are you? She's like, just put my number in your wife's phone. Y'all call me. So I called her and they were producing a straight to TV film on BET where they needed a song for me. So I sang the song and I really enjoyed it. And the producer that I recorded the song with was like, man, if you like that, I got like 12 songs that you can hear. And he played The Way I Remember It, which is something that he had previously recorded, but the words were a little different. I was like, oh, I love this. Like, I got to write this a little bit to fit my relationship. But, it definitely was one of those kind of like musical aha moments where I was like, you know what, maybe I should do a new record. You know, maybe it is time. And I remember the very second studio session I had, he's like, I'm thinking about writing a song like Easter speech. I'm like, what is he talking about? What are you talking about? He said, remember when we were kids and we would do these Easter speeches that's like, E is for Easter every day. And so anyway, I come downstairs and he was like, what would you say if we were spelling out? And so we just started going through like the WIFE, like all the things that we would say that my wife meant to me with that letter. And it turned into a smash. And from that point on, that's how the album was built. And then to round the album off, most of my very pop, most recognizable songs were produced by a production group called The Underdogs with help from like Tank, Eric Dawkins, and all these other people that worked with them. And Eric came in at the very end with a song called Shaking My Head. It was just, you know, the album just, it really was just laid in my lap. I didn't have to do much to make a great record with Balewa, the guy, Balewa Muhammad, who is one of the executive producers on the project. I didn't have to do much because he really just heard my voice because of that TV song we did. It was like, I got songs for you. Let's do it.
I love this, by the way. I love all of it. Okay, so then Masterpiece, from my understanding, is doing really well. You perform that as well. Yeah. Where's it at right now?
I have no idea. I have not been keeping up, man. I have a new baby. And
you're like, I'll get to that.
I'm tired of keeping up with where those chart positions are, but listen, my publicist said it's doing what it's supposed to do. I'm talking to y'all. I got some other shows coming up later in the season. So listen, it must be doing okay, because otherwise nobody would want to have anything to say.
Hello. What's the best part about being a dad? Two times.
Best part about being a dad is watching these little people that look like you and their mother kind of emulate you in a way. I didn't know that my son was paying very much attention to me perform it until one day we were downstairs watching a video and he grabbed the microphone. He's like, "Daddy, I want to sing like you." And I said, "You want to what?"
But
from then on, he just started grabbing anything and just singing with, right now, his favorite song is "Won't He Do It," a song by Corinne Harthart. He's always singing that. That's his jam now.
I love her, by the way.
I got to take him to see her in concert because he loves it.
So you said, and this really piqued my interest, you said the Luther Vandross, the covers were doing well. And I noticed that you just launched your own app. Are you still, in terms of your business model, are you still doing that?
Yes. The Ruba St. Luther, I don't think will ever be something that I'll stop doing. Because the music is so well, is so good, and people always want to hear Luther Vandross's songs sang, right? And I think I do a good job of doing that as Ringo, not as Luther, but because no one could ever. I try to tell people this is not a Broadway musical. Well, I'm trying to be Luther. I'm just doing my best interpretation of what I feel like I felt when I heard the material. So, and I love it. I love the nostalgia of it. I wouldn't normally ever be on stage with a sparkly jacket on. I'm going to wear it I'm generally a blazer kind of guy. But on that show, I get to be outside of myself and I get to give people a real production. Because there, it's a lot that goes into it. I have full band, three background singers, all these production people that come with the Ruben Singh Rupa package. So it's a blessing that I've been able to produce that. And
it's beautiful. And also, too, no one today, in my opinion, men, the R&B is not the singing of how I feel and my emotions. Things have changed. It's very a lot of slang. It doesn't remind me of love songs, of ballads, of "I really care about you, I want to be with you." You know, the baby making music of the days are no longer here, in my opinion. And you're still able to give us that with your album, this album. And also when you sing, you're like, "Oh, this is what's missing." You know, when I hear you, I'm like, "This is what's missing." That soul. And I don't want to say nostalgia, but it feels very cultural. It feels very warm. It feels authentic. Although that was a way in which everyone used to do it, we've gone away from that. Do you intentionally, or is that just what you have? Do you intentionally make music and sing music that reminds us of that? Or is it just who you are in you?
I think it's a part of who I am. I mean, we all are the sum total of our lives' experiences. My mom was a really big Luther Vandross fan. My father also had this very large record collection, which, allowed me to kind of explore and listen to things I probably wouldn't normally have listened to based upon his travel in the Army. So he brought things back that I was able to listen to. And also, I just love music in general. So Luther's music was produced at the highest quality. You know, the orchestrations and some of the things in the front of his albums were just, unmatched. And there are a lot of singers now who are doing very nostalgic retros of, Marvin Gaye sound. And even Tyrese still has that kind of Luther-esque feel to his music. One of the last songs he produced, I don't think you ever love me. That song is just nostalgic R&B. You got, so many October London, all these people that are coming out now with, that real throwback sound.
You're bringing it back.
I think really have a hunger for it. And so I'm glad to be a part of that renaissance, so to speak.
I love it. I'm glad you are a part of it. Can I? There was a social media question going around the internet, and people were answering it two ways. There's one way to answer it to be politically correct, and there's one way to answer it if this is just how you feel, truly how you feel. But who would you say is the king of R&B? And you know why that conversation started to come up.
Living king of R&B?
Uh-huh. And no, or who, period. He doesn't have to be living. I'll ask you, period, and then I'll ask you living.
I don't think that there is one. And let me just, because there's so much great work, it's hard to say who was, like, if I was to compare, it's like comparing apples to oranges. Like, Al Green is amazing, and so is Marvin Gaye. Did we get classic, great, amazing material from both of those people? Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wookie Robinson is amazing, and so is Wilson. Did we get material from both those people? Yes, we did. Luther Vandross was amazing, but so was Freddie Jackson.
Ooh. What about Jeffrey Osborne? I just saw him on someone's page the other day.
I mean, especially the 80s, Jeffrey Osborne, Peebo Bryson, like all these people that were singing. And I mean, we could go on. Billy Ocean. Like, you know, and I hate when nobody has to be at the top of anything. Even though we call Miss Aretha the Queen of Soul, but there were a lot of other great female soul singers. And I loved her.
There were. But that's why she's queen. There is a hierarchy in what we're getting. And so for them to say Aretha is queen is appropriate based on singing. I think what she gave us, what she did for the culture and the community. I get it. But you're right. Someone will come on and say, well, I did. Another queen for me is someone could say Patty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was this.
Because vocals were unmatched.
Unmatched.
Unless
so I think Queen is apropos.
And the thing that was so great about her is that everybody, whether it was gospel or, I mean, R&B or sacred, they all respected her voice. Like, she shut everybody. Like, you get no work.
The internet.
Yeah.
She, look, Queen, they would go to Aretha. There was this infamous clip, and they go to Aretha and they ask her about all the singers. Have you ever seen that are out currently? When that was a while ago, may she rest in peace. And I knew what she was doing. She's classy as she could be, but if she talk about singers, she's like soulful singers. She would say things very complimentary, but you knew she was just like, yeah, they don't do what we do anymore. And someone said Taylor Swift. She was like, nice dresses. You know, Mariah Carey. Oh, she's pretty. Like, it was very respectful, but she was saying what I do isn't what they do. So I have one. The debate that was on the internet started when Usher did the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And they were like, Usher, Chris Brown, who dances and sings better? And there was this divisiveness, I know, but I also felt like it was a compliment as well to all the talent. When you start asking if it's hard to make that choice, would you make a choice between the two, between singing and dancing?
You know what? Because Usher and I are closer in age, I will just give it to him just because we're closer in age. Like, you know, Chris Brown is absolutely, like, he's amazing. Like, that's why I don't like that. I don't like that kind of situation. Like
the verses, if you will.
After you made it to a point, you're not in competition with anybody but yourself.
Amen. Amen. I like it. So I'm gonna title this The King of R&B of Soul. The King of Soul, Ruben Studdard, is the name of this podcast. And you can't tell me I can't, because I am.
And Ruben ain't the king of soul. You better talk to Al Green. You better talk to her.
Congratulations on everything. The album, The Way I Remember It, masterpiece, single out now. I love Gretzky. I think that's great. I love the homage to the wife, and I'm really excited that you're back doing new music. I'm glad the Luther covers will never stop, because I will be there to watch live in person. You really, truly are a kind soul. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been an amazing pleasure to speak with you.
It's hard to say who the king of R&B is. It's very true. And let me tell you this. When I have this discussion with any black man specifically, they'll say R. Kelly hands down. They'll say you can't say it publicly, but they will tell me. I mean, I went to an impromptu survey. I said, R. Kelly, Chris Brown, Usher. And they have told me over and over again, it is R. Kelly. And for obvious reasons, I disagree. But even if I had to just listen to his catalog, I felt like all of R. Kelly's music sounded the same. It just didn't register with me. But for black men, he is the king of R&B. And that is because I went back to listen. He was singing like they think. You know what I mean? He was saying things that they love. Like, not, I'm not saying it's representative of all black men, but I am saying he really registered, which has a lot to do. And I'll go, I want to get into, obviously, he will be in jail for the rest of his life, but probably had a lot to do with why so many people ignored his hellacious past and who he was as a human, because he made good music. Let's just keep it funky and make it uncomfortable. That, we do not have that problem with one Reuben Studdard. Wonderful inside and out, a big teddy bear, kind, good spirit. You could see it, you could feel it, you could hear it in his songs. He didn't want to necessarily say anybody who's a king of R&B, although we do agree that Aretha is the queen. And we're not taking that from her. You're going to have to debate that with your auntie with the sliding wig, because it's not up for debate. R.I.P. Aretha. Last but not least, you guys go out and check out his album. I think it's really interesting that he is able to make music some 6 years later and admittedly did not even think about making any more music. His business model had changed. He was doing covers. He was doing tours. He was doing things that he really enjoyed. And now he's back in the studio and giving us more of his music, more for us to enjoy. And I think you guys really, really ought to check it out. Support Reuben. You got to support the good ones. My thoughts on who the king of R&B is. Is that what you ask? I hear you asking. Well, I'm going to say Usher. I'm going to say Usher over and over again. That's for me. Not for you, but for me. If you say Prince versus Michael, who you taking? I'm taking Michael. Debate your auntie with the sliding wig, because that is my take, okay? Debate your auntie with the sliding wig. I'm going Michael over Prince, day in and day out, and then twice on Sundays. I don't care what you think. That man narrated my entire childhood and adulthood. If you ask me, so we got Whitney and Beyonce, and you talking voice, strictly voice, where y'all going? We're going Whitney. Obviously, Beyonce had the bigger career, but we're going Whitney. Stop playing. Thank you for listening to Naked. We'll be back next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.